We open in a hallway on Scirocco Station. A hallway that leads to the office of Dr. Yelena Winter, a scientific researcher of the Radiant Council. Booted feet walk down the hallway with a limping, halting step. The figure walking down the hallway reaches the door that leads into Dr. Winter's office and enters a code. The door slides open, and Dr. Winter looks up. There's a momentary flash of fear and confusion on her face as Kiana Arden steps through the door. Arden walks with a limp, her face still bruised and swollen. She crosses to stand in front of Dr. Winter's desk, and she places a hand on the iron sword at her side. And she says, "Dr. Winter, I know you helped her escape. Tell me where she went." Dr. Winter looks around, perhaps hoping that Commander Volkov accompanied Kiana Arden, but there is no one else here. Finally, Dr. Winter says, I'm sorry. I don't know where she went. She held me at sword point and forced me to help her. I'm just a researcher." Arden looks down at her and says, "I highly doubt that, Doctor. You're Radiant Council. You have contacts throughout Veiled Rest. Others of your researcher friends who've gone into hiding. Just like you were in hiding until I found you. Tell me where she went now." Again, Dr. Winter shakes her head and says, "I'm sorry, I cannot help you. I don't know. She didn't tell me where she was going. She just took supplies and left." Arden smiles, and it's a grisly sight. And she slowly draws out her sword. And she says, "Dr. Winter, I tire of this conversation. Havoc could not have escaped without help. And I know that that shuttle she took had to have been yours. She went there directly after leaving here. No one else would have the resources on this station to have a hidden shuttle that could bypass a lockdown. You gave her that escape route, and since you have friends in the sector and she doesn't, I suspect you sent her to someone. Tell me where she went." Dr. Winter looks at the blade and says, "I understand you're trying to intimidate me. And believe me, I find you terrifying. But I have been tasked with doing research for the Phantoms of the Azure Court, your masters. If you harm me, that research will not get done." Kiana Arden tightens her grip on her blade and says, "Doctor, as a researcher, I'm sure you know, the things that you need to perform your research are quite minimal. You need your mind. You need your eyes. Perhaps you need your mouth. And I suppose you need your hands. Everything else is negotiable." Let's ask the Oracle. Does Dr. Winter give up Wolf's location? I think it's a small chance. Kiana Arden is intimidating, but Dr. Winter is a true believer, and I think that she's not going to give up that information easily. If I get a 10 or less on the Oracle roll, the answer is a yes. Here we go. 40 is a no. Dr. Winter straightens and color leaves her face. She takes her hands off of the keyboard that she was working on and she clasps them together, holding tightly. And then she looks in Kiana Arden's eyes and says, Do what you must. But I don't know where the mender is. And we fade out. Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures, the solo actual play podcast where stories are told at the speed of dice. With me, Steve Morrison, your game master and solo player. Now come on, let's grab the dice and see where our story goes. Welcome back for episode 10 of season 3, Cry Havoc. Last time, Wolf and Raven attempted to approach the moon settlement of Sepulchre, disguised as a Helmshall freighter carrying iron for the shipbuilding yards. They were challenged by an Azure Court patrol, and Wolf was unable to convince them to let the ship pass unchecked. They agreed to perform an inspection upon landing because of the urgent need for the supplies. During transit to the moon's surface, Raven pulls out some fancy flying and evades the patrol ship while Valkyrie once again changes the ship's identity to a ship called the Phantom. The ship gets a little banged up after a race through a canyon, but they escape the notice of the patrol ship and are able to land on Sepulchre. Wolf goes to a bar called Purgatory and meets with Vagabond, who offers to put her in contact with a group of smugglers called the Syndicate of the Infinite Ravens. Her contact, Quickdraw, tells Wolf that he wants to help, but that nothing in the forge is free. He needs her help getting something from the Ascendancy Vault in orbit. So as we jump back in, Wolf has had this meeting with Quickdraw, the smuggler of the Syndicate of the Infinite Ravens, and he has asked for her help in recovering something from the Ascendancy Vault in orbit. She understands that she really has no choice but to say yes, so she agrees. Quickdraw says,
"Well, that's great. I've got some contacts to make. Don't go anywhere. I'll let you know when we're ready to go. Sound good?"
To which Wolf says, "Don't see that I have any choice, but yes, sounds good." And she is going to return to the Dead Reckoning and wait for Quickdraw to contact her. So while she is waiting, let's take a look at where we are sitting for our vows, for our health and spirit tracks, and all that good stuff. So we're currently on a vow of find out what's going on with Dr. Winter and help out. It is a formidable vow, and I think we can actually mark some progress here because, you know, we kind of went through a bunch to get to Sepulchre and to find this contact, and we are moving forward with the helping out Dr. Winter. So we're going to mark one box of progress on our formidable vow, and then let's take a look at our tracks. So we're sitting at 6 momentum. We've got a health of 4, which is pretty good right now. Wolf sitting at a spirit of 1 and a supply of 1. I think I want to try and bump those up. Let's see how much time we have as Wolf is waiting for Quickdraw to reach out. I'm going to go ahead and roll, I think, on the supply first as she heads back to the ship. Maybe she's going to stop off in a market and try to replenish some of the supplies on the ship. So this will be bartering, which is unfortunate because that involves heart, which Wolf only has a heart of 1. So she is going to go into a market. She's going to find a stall. She's going to try and barter. I think she's got some of these like iron ingot currency that she carries around with her, and she is trying to barter for some supplies. So let's go ahead and roll D6 plus 1 against our challenge dice. 4 on the action score, 4 and an 8 on the challenge dice for a miss. But I think I need this supply before we move into whatever's going to happen with the vault. So I'm going to burn my 6 momentum and turn this into a weak hit. So as above, but you must first deal with a cost, complication, or demand. Envision the nature of this obstacle. I don't necessarily want to belabor this. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to say that the costs or complication here is just that Quickdraw is going to get in contact faster than she expects. So by the time she gets back to the ship, she is going to already have a message from Quickdraw. And I think that means that she's not going to have time to sort of rest and mentally prepare. So we're not going to get a roll on bumping up the spirit. But we can go ahead and resolve the success for the resupply. And for that, we're going to just take plus two supply. So that takes us up to three supply, which is pretty okay. Wolf returns to the Dead Reckoning with her supplies, and she is surprised to find that there is a communication from Quickdraw.
All right, Havoc. I've talked to my contact, and he is heading out in the morning for this Ascendancy Vault. You and I are going to go along with to make sure that everything goes smoothly. I'll make sure we've got the right papers, so you don't have to do anything other than just meet me at the coordinates, and we'll get to work. See you in the morning. Quickdraw out.
Wolf looks around and I think realizes that she's not going to have time for much more than just to sleep. She talks to Raven, brings Raven up to speed on what's going on, and then tucks in for the night and goes to sleep. The following morning, Wolf wakes. She dresses in her normal suit and belts on her iron sword and her Lay's pistol. She says farewell to Raven and Valkyrie. She's leaving Raven behind on the Dead Reckoning just in case they need to make a quick getaway on the ship. And Wolf makes her way to the coordinates to meet with Quickdraw. She finds Quickdraw standing outside of a small shuttle. With him is a man with a stubbly beard and darker toned skin who is carrying a pack over his shoulder with all sorts of gear in it that would be appropriate for delving a vault. And noticeably, he is carrying no weapons. Quickdraw, standing there with a cigar in his mouth, smoking, turns and says,
Havoc, good morning. It's a good day for a little heist, wouldn't you say?
Wolf approaches and she says, Quickdraw, and this is our contact? Quickdraw nods and says,
Yeah, allow me to introduce Digger. He's an expert of sorts on Ascendancy Vaults, and he's been invited, shall we say, by the Azure Court to do some work on the vault up above us. You and I are here to make sure that when the professor finishes his work, he gets to leave.
Digger looks from Quickdraw to Havoc, and he says, I'm very much appreciative of you two coming along with me. Quick here has told me some stuff about what's going on with the Azure Court in Veiled Rest, and I don't want to get it mixed up in anything. I've already got enough trouble to deal with. Havoc looks at him, looks back at Quickdraw, and says, You two know each other? Quickdraw nods and says,
I helped the professor out with a small problem. He was looking for a friend, and I made some connections. We go back a little bit. But that's neither here nor there. What matters is you're coming along to help me make sure that Digger gets out alive. I know you're good enough to do it. So let's get to work.
And they board the shuttle. The shuttle lifts off and they make their way up towards the Ascendancy Vault, orbiting around the gas giant of Magonia. There is a small fleet of Azure Court ships surrounding this vault. As they approach, Wolf says, How are we getting in? I mean, I understand Digger here has been invited by the Azure Court to do some work, but how are we getting in?
Don't worry about that, Havoc. I've got it covered. We're research assistants for the professor here.
Wolf looks at Quickdraw and then over to Digger and says, right, because you and I look like research assistants. Quickdraw grins and says,
hey, it'll work. Don't worry about it.
Wolf looks at Digger and says, do you think we look like research assistants? And Digger smiles and says, I mean, I've certainly had worse research assistants. The Forge is a dangerous place, and as are Ascendancy Vaults. It's not unusual for researchers such as myself to come along with guards to help take care of any Ascendancy defenses. I prefer to explore by myself, but I understand that that's not exactly possible on this expedition. I certainly would not be opposed to having you around. I've had some issues with running into Elder League mercenaries while exploring some vaults, and it would have been handy to have a couple of research assistants. Wolf takes in that information, knowing that the Elder League don't really operate in this sector, and she nods and says, all right, you're the experts here. I'm just the muscle. The shuttle flies up towards the vault, and as they approach, they are challenged by the Azure Court fleet. Digger transmits his identity codes and whatever access has been granted to him, and they are allowed to pass. And so they begin to close in on this orbiting Ascendancy vault. And there is a platform that has been secured to the side of it, where there are a few shuttles already landed. The three of them suit up in their environmental suits, and the shuttle lands on that platform. They emerge, and there are a handful of Azure Court soldiers standing guard at the entrance to this vault. They approach, and Digger offers up three ident cards. The guards scan them, look over them, and then nod, handing them back and stepping aside as Digger, Quickdraw, and Havoc enter the Ascendancy Vault. And now, a mid-roll ad break. We'll be back to the adventure in just a moment.
I'd like you to join me on a journey into danger and mystery. Are you looking for an action and intrigue-packed solo RPG podcast? One that tells a compelling story and then pulls back the curtain? The Lone Adventurer is split 50-50. Half is a dramatic audiobook-style story set in a dark fantasy magitech world. And half is a step-by-step guide. A guide to how the drama has been created, how solo RPGs work, and how you can create solo adventures of your own. M. Guns gave this review. I have listened to a few different iterations of fantasy storytelling, and this one rates at the top along with Me, Myself, and I. And Mr. Pizzle had this to say, Carl has really knocked it out of the park with this one. Amazing production and pulls you into the story right off the bat. You can find The Lone Adventurer on the podcatcher of your choice, on YouTube or at theloneadventurer.podbean.com. The adventure is just getting started. I hope you'll join me.
It is time to set up a progress track. So we're going to say this is Explore the Magonia Vault. And I don't want to belabor it too much, so I'm just going to set it as a dangerous expedition because we've got the right information to get into it, and we've got an expert who is leading the way. And so I don't think that this is necessarily an incredibly difficult expedition, but there certainly are some complications that could arise if things start to go sour. So we're going to explore the Magonia Vault, and that is going to be a dangerous expedition. So let's go ahead and roll on some tables to determine some things about this vault here. What is the scale of the vault? 34. Typical site of limited scope. So it is a sizable orbital space, but maybe not all of it is explorable at this point. So what does it look like? I like the idea of it being almost obelisk shaped. So I'm not even going to roll on the shape oracle because I like that idea. I like that picture in my head of it being like this almost iron obelisk that is hovering and orbiting in space around Magonia. Take one outer first look. 19. Cavernous opening. So this platform that has been attached to the side of it where these shuttles have landed are right in front of this massive door that rises up at least like 10, 15, 20 meters. And the door slides open slowly as Digger enters a sequence that Wolf doesn't quite catch. The door slides open. Let's get a look inside. 23. Deteriorating spaces. So this is an old vault, as all Ascendancy vaults are, and it appears as though, whether it's time or whether it is maybe the orbit has been degrading for a while, and so there are greater strains of gravity being placed upon it than it was originally designed. Maybe it's not even native to Magonia, to this system. Maybe it was flying through the system and got caught in the pull of this planet. So for whatever reason, this vault itself seems like it is degrading. And should we roll and see what the purpose for this vault was? That'll help us determine how we want to explore it. 58. Preservation of an ancient intelligence. That is a theme in my version of the Forge. Valkyrie is an ascendant AI. In my first season with the Tarquins, there were a bunch of ascendant AIs that came up. And so, of course, the thing that Quickdraw is after is this ascendant AI. And we know that Wolf has some complicated thoughts about ascendancy AIs and how they are treated and their purpose in the Forge. So that could lead to some conflict later on. But for now, it's time to start exploring this vault. When you trailblaze a route through perilous space, journey over hazardous terrain, or survey a mysterious site, give the expedition a name and a rank. Done and done. Then for each segment of the expedition, envision your approach. Move at speed, roll plus edge. Keep under the radar, roll plus shadow. Stay vigilant, roll plus wits. So I think as they enter this vault and the cavernous opening, the door slides open, and there are definitely Azure Court guards that are like watching them as this happens, the three of them pass into the vault and they see these dark, almost like iron fused with obsidian hallways that seem to be decaying. There are cracks running throughout the hallway, and maybe there are sections where pieces of the walls have fallen away. And much like other vaults that people have explored throughout the Forge, there are vast open spaces in between the rooms, the passageways of this vault. And so we're going to begin our expedition by staying vigilant. We're going to be looking around. And in the fiction, I think Digger is leading this expedition because he is the one that has the experience. But because this season is about Wolf, I'm going to roll as Wolf. So we're going to roll plus wits, and this represents Wolf looking around, surveying their surroundings, searching out threats, and trying to generally keep herself and these other two alive as they make their way through the vault. So here we go. Rolling plus wits. See what happens. 4 on the action score, 2 and a 7 on the challenge dice for a weak hit. So on a weak hit, we reach a waypoint, but the progress costs us, so we have to choose one. Suffer costs en route, make a suffer move at minus 2, or 2 suffer moves at minus 1, or face a peril at the waypoint, envision what you encounter. So we are going to mark progress on our dangerous exploration, and let's roll up some interior features. 16 damage or debris, and 75 unintelligible recorded message. So they begin making their way down this hallway. And like I mentioned, like I described before, the walls are cracked. The ceiling is cracked. Maybe there are pieces of the ceiling that have fallen, and it is treacherous to try and make their way through. And I think they walk for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, climbing over debris, making their way down this singular obsidian iron passageway, when all of a sudden this noise comes all around them. The air fills with sound, and it's like, I think Wolf and Quickdraw both go for their weapons, but Digger is standing there with his head cocked, listening, and he turns around to see his companions are at the ready to jump into a fight, and he raises his hands and he says, don't worry, it's just some sort of announcement. The ascendancy is garbled, and I'm not sure that I can make it out, but I don't know that it's something we have to worry about quite yet. So let's just keep moving, and we'll see what we find. And he's going to turn around to continue leading the way, but because we got a weak hit, we have to face a peril at the waypoint. I think the waypoint is the end of this hallway that opens up into a smaller chamber that has a few passageways that lead off in a couple directions. And I'm going to roll on the interior peril chart to see what kind of peril they reach at this waypoint. 11. Corrosive environment. Okay. They reach the end of this passageway, and there is a door that is closed. And Digger says, don't worry, should have this open in just a minute. And he starts entering a sequence on a panel next to this door. As it starts to slide open, there is this sudden rush of what looks like a cloud, and almost immediately an alarm goes off on his suit as this corrosive atmosphere hits his suit and begins to burn it away. Wolf, hearing the alarm going off, seeing this happening, I think is going to lunge forward and try to hit the panel that he was activating to try and close the door back up. This will be a good old-fashioned face danger, and I think it's speed, mobility, or agility on this, so it's going to be plus edge. Here we go. 5 on the action die, 7 and a 9 for the challenge dice. That is a miss. On a miss, you fail, or a momentary success is undermined by a dire turn of events. Pay the price. I think this is pretty clear. I don't think we need to roll on pay the price. She doesn't know how to close this door. She doesn't know what sequence she needs to close it up. So she dives forward. She tries to like enter a sequence, but it does not shut the door. And that wave of gas continues to spread out into this hallway and is going to engulf the three of them. I think we should ask a question here. How bad is this? Like, is this going to eat through their suits? Is it something that they can weather? Like, this could be pretty terrible. Let's ask the Oracle, does it corrode their suits in such a way that they have to withdraw? I think it is unlikely that it is that bad. So we'll say 25 or less will be a yes. 83 is a no. So it doesn't corrode their suits so much that it causes them to have to retreat. But I think that it is going to corrode the suits a little bit and is going to damage the suits. And so I think what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to start a clock. I'm going to start this clock and I'm going to name it Suits Are Compromised. It feels as though their suits have been damaged by this corrosive gas as it's sucked out into space. And once it passes by them, the passageway ahead is clear. This room ahead is clear, but their suits are damaged. And so I think their alarms are going off on their suits, and Wolf is checking hers over, and she turns to the professor and says, "Digger, are you all right?" He's like shaking it off and says, I think so. My suit is fine, but slightly damaged. Quickdraw says,
"Yeah, mine too. Was that supposed to happen?"
Wolf says, "I doubt it. Do we have to worry about more things like that happening?" She can see the smile on his face through his visor. And he says, "You haven't explored a whole lot of Ascendancy vaults, have you?" She shakes her head. He says, "Yeah, all sorts of weird stuff happens inside vaults. This is pretty normal. This is not my first time getting gassed out. Probably it was some sort of coolant system or some way that the vault kept itself running. And as we're seeing, it's damaged. It's falling apart. And so some seal somewhere must have failed and vented into this room. It's possible we won't run into any more, but it's also possible this will happen again." That is the pay the price here. Their suits could be compromised if more bad stuff happens. We'll keep that in mind as we continue on. So they enter this next room, and there are a couple of passageways that lead out of this room. Wolf, now that they're a little bit further away from the guards, says, "So what are we here for anyways?" Quickdraw says,
"That's not part of our deal, Havoc. You're here to make sure the professor gets out alive. You let me worry about what I'm looking for. You just keep an eye on the professor."
Havoc says, "You know, if you tell me, if you give me some more information, I can help you look for it too. I've got two eyes. I can look at two things at once."
That's a good trick there, Havoc, but now I want you to focus on the professor."
And she turns then to the professor and says, "What are you looking for, Digger?" He shrugs and says, "I'm not really sure. Each vault is different. I've seen vaults that are full of wonders, and I've seen vaults that really have nothing in them. The Azure Court called me in because they've not been able to really determine what this vault was for. I think they are hoping it has some sort of weapons or, you know, secret powers or something like that. Usually it's just a bunch of old research." Wolf says, "Wonderful. All right, let's keep going. Do you have an idea of which path we should take?" Digger says, "I like to start with the right one." So we're going to continue. Plus wits, staying vigilant. 5 for the action score, 5 and a 6 on the challenge dice. 4, another miss. Waylaid by a crisis or arrive at a waypoint to confront an immediate hardship or threat. Do not mark progress and pay the price. So let's roll up another interior feature. Let's see what our next waypoint looks like. 46 is maze-like passages. Perfect. So they get lost. So they go down this right passageway, and then there are a series of branching passageways. And at every single one, Digger takes the right-hand side. But eventually they come to some sort of like mirrored passage. It's hard to tell if the passages are just looping around on themselves, and it becomes more and more confusing as they go. And what kind of peril do they come face to face with? 33, hazardous path designed for traversal by other beings. This hazardous path, how can we put this together with the maze-like passages? What if the passage that they're walking down reaches a ledge, and then all of a sudden they're faced with the open air, quote unquote, the open air of this vault? They're looking inside this obelisk and they realize they're not in a passageway anymore. They are just looking at the vast interior of this obelisk. Maybe the passageway broke down at some point and has fallen apart, or maybe it was designed this way, but there are islands of iron and obsidian floating in this vast sort of openness of the obelisk interior. Looking up and squinting, Wolf can see this opening far in the distance across this chasm. She says, "Do we have to go over there?" Digger says, "I'm afraid so. I'm not sure we can go back the way we came." And they turn around and realize that the passageway that they just walked through is now open void as well. That it just looks out onto that openness. Wolf says, "Wait, the vault can change?" Digger nods and says, "Yep, I think it's part of the fun, but most people that I've traveled with think it's pretty annoying. Probably the Ascendants, if this is how this worked when they were around, they probably had some way to either propel themselves across safely, or they could maybe open up some sort of portal and just walk across. Not really sure. There are some, there are references to such technology in some of the texts that I've read, but nothing really concrete." "Okay," Wolf says. "I guess we're just crossing." They are going to attempt to make their way through this chasm across to the other side to continue their journey through this vault. And to do that, we're going to roll face danger once again. And I think that it could be edge or wits here. And since they're both two, I'm just going to say it's wits. This is going to be Wolf and the others using their training in space walking situations to get across this chasm. They have their environmental suits on. They're going to fire some thrusters and see where it takes them. This is plus two for Wolf. Here we go. 8 on the action score, 5 and a 1 on the challenge dice for a strong hit. On a strong hit, take a momentum. It's going to bump us up from 2 to 3, and we are successful. So they leap out into the void and fire the thrusters on their environmental suits. And the three of them propel over to one of these small floating islands and they land. And then Wolf kind of turns to the other two and is like, "All right, this is easy. Follow me." And she is going to then fire her thrusters again, take a running leap, jump across, then jump across again and again and again. And over the course of 20 to 30 minutes of careful firing of their thrusters and angling properly, they are able to make their way across this open chasm into the next passage. What do they see when they reach the other side? 100. Roll twice. 44, looted or empty containers. And 83. A vertical shaft. They land in this room and there are a bunch of ascendant crates that have been seemingly pried open and their contents emptied. Maybe that was done back when this vault first existed. Maybe it was done by the Azure Court soldiers who made the first expedition through here. But what they then find is a vertical shaft that rises up from the center of this room towards the top of this obelisk. Digger like kind of looks around at the crates and says, seem to be standard storage crates. Can't really tell what the contents would have been. And then he looks up at that and he says, I bet there was some sort of anti-gravity field that would allow them to send goods up and send goods down. Wonder if I can get that working. And he is going to spend a minute or two trying to get it activated. Is he able to? Let's ask the Oracle. I think it's likely. I feel like he's skilled in this. So 75 or less. 99. Nope. Maybe whatever vented into that first room controlled the power to that particular functionality. So it does not work. So he's like, well, friends, it looks like we're going to have to climb. Wolf looks up. She pulls some climbing gear out of her pack and says, all right, let's get to it. Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures, and thanks so much to Sirenscape for the lovely ambient sounds and music throughout the episode. If you enjoyed the show, please spread the word, and if you want to support the show directly, leave me a review or buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/errantadventures. If you want to interact with me, I'm at errantsolopod on Twitter and Instagram, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.